Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a very serious subject today. I pray that you're listening. I'd love to have your input. I'd love to know your thoughts and positions on these issues. We're talking about spies and sedition within. The spies, by this invasion of the Islamic jihadists coming into America, we're allowing it, and it's being done via the socialist Marxist Democrats and their agenda of getting more votes and staying in power. And it is sedition that is taking place at their hands. And as I stated at the earlier part of the broadcast, sedition is simply defined in the Webster's Dictionary as conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority or state or government. And that's what you see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, with the ongoing impeachment process in Washington by Adam Schiff and by Jerry Nadler, carried out at the behest of Nancy Pelosi, leading the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. But ladies and gentlemen, we're just before the break talking about the Islamic jihadists that opened fire at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, where three were summarily slain. And yet there seems to be no major interest in or concern by are coming out of the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party of the dangers. In fact, may I even knit this together and say, I see very little concern on a national level coming out of either party. And I think the whole problem is, as I just mentioned a moment ago to someone else, I think the whole problem is that somehow, some way, we feel that we cannot be weaned from the oil coming out of Saudi Arabia and other parts of the Middle East. And somehow, some way, we think that we've got to maintain that relationship. I don't mind the relationship, but I think that we need to summarily cease and desist any purchase of oil from these nations, and somehow, some way, think that as a result of that oil, that we've got to appease them and continue to allow these jihadists to come into America. If we've got about 5,000, ladies and gentlemen, in the different branches of the military, if there's at least admitted about 400 to 450 at the Pensacola Air Station alone, we're in grave danger if we're not having the influx of those coming in. Other than that, we're in grave danger. It is a jihadist danger, ladies and gentlemen. And I just a moment ago read part of an article, Manhunt Underway for the Missing Saudi Students After Shooting at Pensacola Naval Station. Ladies and gentlemen, the jihadist shooter had it already set up and planned. We know that because there were those that were outside taking the videos. And as I understand it now, it was at three different angles that the video shoot was taking place. And I believe that is now uploaded on some of the Islamic jihadist recruiting places, online media, so that they can use that for recruitment of other jihadists to come in and do the same thing. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, a Muslim's only, listen, an Islamic's only guarantee of paradise, as they call it, is by carrying out jihad. Jihad meaning an absolute holy war. And in that jihad, the only way they can be assured of paradise is by being martyred for their faith. That means to stand up, shoot someone, knowing that you're going to be dispatched, neutralized in doing so. That is their assurance, based on the Quran, that they will be dispatched immediately to paradise, where they will live in perpetual sexual relationship with 72 black-eyed virgins. Now, if you think I'm kidding, study Islam. That shows you the motivation, because that is their only guarantee of going to that place that is called paradise in their writings. Ladies and gentlemen, can an American follow both the Constitution and Sharia law? The answer to that is unequivocally no. It's an impossibility to do so, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to this brief article. Not all who claim to follow Sharia really do, but Sharia calls for those who do not follow Sharia to be murdered, mutilated, tortured, raped, enslaved, repressed, and terrorized. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, if you're an Islamic, and yet there's a lot of folks in American jurisprudence and a lot of those in the Beltway in Washington that will say some of these Muslims get radicalized. No, ladies and gentlemen, the radicalization starts if they read, if they adhere to, if they follow, if they believe that Allah is God and that Muhammad is his prophet, and they read that and believe that and follow that in the Quran, then they are potential jihadists in America. And if they do not carry that out, according to Sharia law, those who do not follow Sharia law, that is Islamic Quranic law, they are to be murdered, mutilated, tortured, raped, enslaved, repressed, and terrorized. And that's exactly their motive for coming against America and Americans. This article further says American law prohibits all of what is authorized by Sharia. This is not moral equivalency between Sharia and Judeo-Christian morality. There's no place for Sharia in America or in any society that strives to advance civilization. Yet in America, criminal and negligent officials violate American law by unlawfully permitting ardents to the Sharia law to hold sworn office as congressional representatives, judges, police officers, and other public offices. End quote. Further, the article says the law prohibits anyone to hold any sworn office who does not swear full allegiance to the Constitution, yet hoards or adheres to Sharia and unlawfully permitted to hold sworn office whose allegiance is set of laws diametrically opposed to the Constitution. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we have these Islamic jihadists that are the spies, the invaders coming into the House and the Senate in America, and any of the sworn office holders in the United States of America, they will generally swear at them, be sworn in on a Quran, indicating that they have no intention of adhering to God's law or the constitutional law or anything about our republic and the form of government that we have. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, and I quote, allowing those who do not swear allegiance to the Constitution to hold sworn office is a path to national destruction. They strive to transform our society in one that is barbaric, genocidal, and perverse by normalizing the barbarianism, violence, and perversion of Sharia in America. They seek to transform America, American law, to permit that which law not does not permit. They seek to indoctrinate school children to accept as right that which is insane. They make no secret of their objectives but have published them. No one anywhere has the right to do what is authorized by Sharia. No one has the right to practice Sharia law in America. But ladies and gentlemen, President Trump recently released an appeals court judge that was practicing Sharia law. He summarily released him. There's some of the socialist Marxist Democrats that are still upset by it. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that they should have no place in American jurisprudence. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have you input your thoughts and suggestions in relationship to this discussion today. The issue that we're dealing with, spies and sedition within the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, the Muslims are colonizing under your nose, putting Muslim representatives into position only to attack us, end quote. As long as you remember that if you get involved in politics, you have to be very careful that your leader is for Allah. Hear that? You don't get involved in politics because it's the American thing to do. You get involved in politics because politics are a weapon to use in the cause of Islam and Allah. That was spoken by an Islamic jihadist imam. Let me read that again. As long as you remember that if you get involved in politics, you have to be very careful that your leader is for Allah. You don't get involved in politics because it's the American thing to do. You get involved in politics because politics are a weapon to use in the cause of Islam and Allah. Ladies and gentlemen, something is happening throughout America today, and Americans need to know that. I believe America is literally and purposefully being invaded by Muslims like we find in France, in Germany, in Sweden, in England, in the Wales, and Belgium, in the UK, and in the United States of America today. And ladies and gentlemen, this is being done with the help of felons that are masquerading as representatives in this country, who are, I believe, illegally alluring them through sanctuary protection policies, criminal policies, and cities that then hand them off in our country, in a country where they have the means and then the mechanism and the position to destroy and ultimately conquer. Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind the word Muslim means to submit, submission. Keep in mind that the demographers have already told us that by the year 2050, Islam will be the dominating factor in control in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, the former head of the Department of National Intelligence, called DNI, John Brennan, is a Muslim. And John Brennan is up to his ears in this, how would you say, shadow government. Some call it the deep state, that is now part and parcel of the attempt to crucify, destroy, persecute, and prosecute, and remove by impeachment President Donald J. Trump. Congress is now trying to impeach the president, ladies and gentlemen, who's been the best president for America, especially for Christians, especially for conservatives, than any other president in recent history. Yes, while the focus is on destroying our president, the Islamic invasion, the invasion of spies, and the political sedition is taking place in America today. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, did Ilhan Omar spy for Iran? The leftist news media loves to use the term bombshell when they think they've got a bead on some big story that's going to take down conservatives and especially our president. This article says, however, it's safe to say that 98% of their bombshells turn out to be duds. It's being reported that the Minnesota representative, Ilhan Omar, was recruited by Qatar and has been receiving funds from and passing classified information to Iran. The article further says, if this is true, it's absolutely earth-shattering, to say the least. According to the report from the Jerusalem Post, the claims came during testimony of a Kuwaiti-born Canadian businessman, Alan Bender, who was giving evidence in the trial of Sheikh Khalid Hamad. Qatar brother stands accused of ordering his American bodyguard to be murdered by two people holding an American citizen hostages. His deposition was authenticated by the attorney for the plaintiffs. This information was presented before the Florida court where the trial was being held, and the story spread quickly from there. Denise D'Souza tweeted recently, quote, I've seen some of the evidence, and it's only the tip of the iceberg. Be patient. The whole filthy racket is going to be exposed, and a lot of people are going to have to answer for it, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not unique. It's not something that's happening just sporadically or here and there. It's something that's taking place across America. And the Council on American Islamic Relations now say that they want to elect 30 senators in 2020, 30 senators. They are now pushing, ladies and gentlemen, 5,200 candidates across America for every office that could be considered in anything across America, in the cities, the counties, and the states, and in the federal government. They are determined to control America through the political system. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are some nations around the world that will allow Islamic invasion to come in by way of immigration, but they will not allow them to run for public office because they know, just as was discovered in the Netherlands from 1960 and following, they know that once that takes place, there's no turning back. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Muslim Ilhan Omar recites Islamic prayer to Allah at a Catholic worship service in a one-world religion Christian service attended by over 25 members of the 116th Congress. Yes, you heard me right. The subtitle says, Muslim Ilhan Omar recently posted a video of herself reciting an Islamic prayer at a Catholic church in the one-world religious Chrislam service attended by 25 members of Congress. Ladies and gentlemen, you would not find that taking place in a Christian church. You will not find that taking place, ladies and gentlemen, in anything where Christ or Christmas or Christians could speak or pray, where the 25 members of Congress would be there and would applaud it or be in attendance for it, number one. Further, here's an article, Muslim Pennsylvania State Representative who was offended by Christian prayer is charged with stealing from Children's Society. A Muslim Pennsylvania State lawmaker has been charged for allegedly stealing $500,000 from a charity she founded. Pennsylvania Authority Attorney General Joseph Shapiro said in a statement Thursday that Representative MOVITA Mavita Johnson Harrell, Democrat, had been charged with numerous charges of theft, perjury, and tampering. She had previously made headlines for being offended by a Christian prayer offered before a session of the Pennsylvania legislature in March. But, ladies and gentlemen, you're not offended by an Islamic coming into a Catholic mass and praying an Islamic prayer, and then 25 Congress members of the Socialist Marxist Democrats are present, and it's applauded. But a Muslim is offended by a Christian prayer? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about spies and sedition within. I believe I have a call on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
It's interesting the how far back we can take the origins of problems like this. You know, if you look at the situation with Israel and all these nations around her that have absolute hatred for Israel, this is a family dispute for them that goes all the way back to Ishmael and Isaac.
Yes.
And of the sons of Esau and the interrelation there. I mean, it is disgusting. When you look at right now, you know, we're dealing with a Saudi-born, a Saudi national that's come to this United States, and he has committed a terrorist act. Why do we protect Saudi so much? Now, you step back to the 9/11 report, all of a sudden, we couldn't get all the details about Saudi Arabia. And I'd like for folks to do a little research on this. You'll find that we defend the OPEC nations, of which Saudi is the apex, because they sell their oil in U.S. dollars. This is kind of a side note, but so people understand why we are where we are. Look up the words petrodollar and do research. You'll find our dollar has value internationally, because folks must, when they're buying from OPEC, buying oil from OPEC, which everybody has to have, it's the oil that makes the world go round kind of thing, they must buy it in U.S. dollars. That means they must convert their currency to U.S. dollars. So it gives our U.S. dollar international value. Whereas, you know, prior to that, now this is a deal that Nixon made, prior to that we were on a gold standard. Our dollars had value because they were pegged to this gold. They were secured by this gold. Not anymore. Today, it is a fiat currency that only has value because we compel people through OPEC to buy oil in dollars. Now, we made a deal. We made an alliance, potentially or figuratively, with the devil, okay?
Yes, you're right.
Israel did the same. When she was young and she came into the promised land, they were to drive folks out as they came in, and they made alliances. And those alliances, many generations later, came back to attack them over and over and over. We made an alliance with Saudi. Those princes in Saudi, they can say whatever they want to. If they are fundamentalist Muslims, they hate America. They hate America. And they will fund anything and everything that will undermine America. But we give them the funds with which to do it. So, you know, this is kind of a monster of our own making. It's not to beat up on America. We've made mistakes as a people, and of course we certainly have not learned the lessons of 9/11. We're seeing them replayed again, smaller scale. That may all change tomorrow. We may see another 9/11 level event tomorrow. We don't know. But we have not changed these hearts, certainly. We have not changed our policies so radically. And we've given up our rights. You get on an airplane, and they'll strip you naked in order to get on an airplane. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Certainly, the lessons of 9/11 have not been thoroughly learned in this country.
I thought we had the mantra for 9/11, never forget, never forget. But yet, Greg, I think that you would agree with this statement. I believe what we see taking place by the sedition coming from the Socialist Marxist Democrats and the spies, that's the invasion of the Islamics into America and having prominent position and leadership roles in government today, I believe we must recognize that this is the deception that is taking place. I call it a demonic deception. It's a deception that's taking place because what we're doing, we're showing the enemy from within who we are and what we're doing. And Greg, it reminds me of a passage in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 13 through 17. Let me read that for you and for our listening audience, and then we can comment. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all of the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There's nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. 2 Kings 20, verse 13 through 17. That was a king that was stupid enough, dumb enough, ignorant enough, and unlearned enough, if you will, to allow the enemy to see inside of what was taking place and how it was being carried out and who was in leadership and what was stored up and what was valuable. As a result of that, as you study the scripture, you find it was carried out just as he was told by the prophet that was going to take place. He was told that it was going to all be carried away, taken away, and controlled. And I believe, Greg, that's what we see taking place in Washington today with the sheer ignorance and the sheer desire for raw power that's causing this sedition that's trying to tear down and destroy. They're willing, Greg, and our listening audience, these people, the socialist Marxist Democrats, are willing to destroy our system of governance. They're willing to undermine and destroy our Constitution in order to appease those that are in power and those that want to bring about further sedition to undermine and destroy the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, where am I wrong on that statement?
I think you've hit the nail firmly on the head. The fact of the matter is we continue to undermine the country, or it continues to be undermined by individuals in positions of authority. If you step back in time, when Bill Clinton was elected and entered office, he immediately hired, I believe, 93 U.S. attorneys general, U.S. attorneys, district attorneys across the United States. When Barack Obama came into office, he literally expunged, tossed out every single ambassador appointed by his predecessor. So they kind of started with partially clean slates. Now, as you see Obama enter office, his chief assistant, his closest confidant, was Valerie Jarrett, with ties, links directly to Iran. The chief aide to Hillary Clinton was Uma Abed. Ties directly back to Iran, and you go, come on, yeah, these folks are particular. In the case of Valerie Jarrett, I believe she was a communist and wrote on it. I believe that's the case. Nonetheless, both of them with roots directly back to Iran. And then, of course, we end up sending pallets of cash to Iran. The problems that we have with Iran today are much of our own making, in that the last president, Barack Obama, actually funded the chaos that we've dealt with Iran, and of course with Saudi. You know, obviously the subject being terrorism, these are coming from multiple sources. And you have Shia and Sunni and other factions. However, you're the expert. What does Islam mean? What
means submission?
Does it mean?
In fact, here's an article, Greg, if I can read it for you and for our audience, and then we'll take another caller also if you'll hang on the line. Representative Ilhan Omar calls on Muslims to raise hell, make Americans uncomfortable. The article says Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar has called on Muslims in America to raise hell and to make folks uncomfortable throughout America and throughout her speech. And she was speaking to a fundraiser for Islam. And yet we're allowed that. That is sedition. That is looking at the result of spies within our borders. I believe we have another call on the line. Greg, hang in there and let's talk together. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
A few comments. One of the men listed as murdered by these terrorists, it seems to be, was a Muslim himself. He had an Arabic name. Were you aware of that? He was an airman. What was his rank? E2, I think.
I had not heard that, but that's entirely possible. Keep in mind, listen very carefully, and not just for you, but I'm saying this for our total audience. If an Islamic person does not engage in, adhere to, and hold up the Islamic Jihad philosophy and approach to life, then he is considered an outsider, he is considered an apostate, and he's to be murdered himself. And so who knows, this Islamic jihadist that did the shooting probably knew him and probably knew that he was not an ardent person to stand up for the Sharia law and the words of Allah and Muhammad.
I agree. I agree with you. But you know what I like to emphasize, though, as horrendous as this is, it's all part and parcel of the end time scenario. I like to look at when Abraham passed away, Isaac and Ishmael both came together and they had sort of a reconciliation. Jacob and Esau had a reconciliation that wasn't, you know, as solid as Ishmael and Isaac. However, in Isaiah 19, the whole chapter actually, ultimately it says, in that day Israel will be one, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and Assyria will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. And that day Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, blessing in the midst of the land, whom Yahweh Sivaoth, the Lord of hosts, shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. So I like to look towards the end time result. And even to this day, I lived in Israel for 7 months when I was 20 on the Lebanese border on a kibbutz. And I had some great Arab Christian friends. And there are many friendships you don't hear about between Muslims and Jews. And eventually it'll be whole. So I like to dwell more on the positive, but I agree with everything you're discussing here and now.
Yes, thank you so much. And let me tie up a loose end on that. In Isaiah 19, it's in the days of the thousand-year reign, the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that's when everything will be made right. But before then, we're still living in the reality of where we are today, where Islam is a struggle. They have a struggle to dominate and control, because Islam means to Muslim, means to submit. And they want the whole globe to submit.
Submission.
But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank
God bless you for your call. Greg, in the minute and a half that we have left on this broadcast, tell us what we as believers, how we should respond. Why is it that this is so, why is it that this subject should be so ultimately important for Christians and conservatives?
As I've often stated, I believe our problem begins in the pulpits across America when pastors refuse to stand up and speak the truth, stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and warn of the wolves out there. The church at Ephesus called out those false apostles. They called out those that were involved in absolute horrid sin. And they didn't mince words. However, we have a pope that a lot of folks see as a religious head within Christianity. He's going around the world today supporting something he's calling the Document on Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. I have news for you, folks. Islam is not peace. Islam is submission, and they would like to compel that submission upon you.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.